This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Now, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, UFC Fight Night, presented by the U.S. Army on ESPN+. The main event features a light heavyweight battle between Thiago Santos and Glover Teixeira. That's tomorrow night at 7, exclusively on ESPN+. Visit ESPNplus.com to subscribe. One of my favorites. Let's bring him in. The great R.J. Bell. R.J., how you been?
I'm doing personally excellent.
Okay. Let me just get to my notes here. Hang on a second. You and Canty had Detroit plus 2.5 last week.
So
Points. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Unfortunately, they lost by 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
That drops this dynamic duo like to 0-8 on the season.
Chris, I think we got to do something.
We got to do something, RJ. Something has to happen.
But what I'm saying is maybe we do a $1,000 sprint and let's get some stakes on this thing. And we can go through the Super Bowl, because I got to tell you, taking the intensity down has not helped you.
So this is all on me, RJ? You haven't been great with picks either.
How'd you do last
week? What happened to the pick of the year, Browns Raiders? What happened to that?
No. I said one of the five best picks.
You're right. Semantics, RJ. Semantics. I've been bad. Don't try to deflect this all on me.
Well, hold on a second.
I got to tell you, Chris is right, RJ. This is not a duo, though. This is the two of you working together.
I agree with that. That's been a disaster. I mean, I usually don't fire people, and I'm not talking about Chris here, but I want to give you an example real quick. But one, because I usually just kind of start to be a tough boss and run them off, right? That's easier. And one time I finally had to fire a guy, and I walked in, and he was asleep, head down at the desk. So I'm like, okay, I think my decision was right. I'm somehow trying to stir Canty awake. Now, I'm not saying he's not participating in the show. It's just he doesn't seem to have it in him, the passion for the picks. Would you say that's true, Dave?
No. I will say this. I don't think he's as laser focused as he was when there was $5,000 on the line. But I think that he's not trying to lose. He doesn't want to be 0-8. So I think that's an unfair statement. And I think if you want to give him blame, I think he deserves blame. But, RJ, I think you deserve blame as well.
How many did he win last week?
One.
Of the three he originally gave you, he went 1-2. And the one he really liked, you hated, and you made him pick this other game, and he went Detroit, and you loved it, and they lost by 20.
I didn't love it. But this is what I was – I mean, I liked it. It was all right.
I liked Seattle last week, RJ, and you hated the pick.
You hated it. You're right. And I to be honest, it was a mistake. Obviously because it covered. But, no, I'm saying as I kept digging into it, and we saw with the 49ers last night, obviously to some degree this team had its last hurrah in a way against the Rams, it looked, and then here we are. This is what I'm going to say, and then we can move on and maybe provide some information to the – audience, is I am 60% on the season documented at the biggest sports contest in the world. The fact that somehow, some way, the dynamic on this show leads to losers, I am going to let the audience again speak on that. That's no other comment.
All right, you're throwing Canty under the bus. I don't like it, but let's get to it.
Such a bad guy.
It could be Dave. How is it me?
How can you blame me for the fact that you two are 0-8?
It's just, don't you know that sometimes there's a winning environment and sometimes there's a losing environment? The energy is just negative with you, man.
Oh, you are a piece of work. By the way, let's put the 0-8 record on the line.
At what point are you going to mention I gave a winner on the Saturday show?
You gave the Giants plus whatever the number was going to be.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
I typically would mention that on the next Saturday show.
Now, listen, let me say this. Did you hear what Mr. Michael Kay said about you?
Did you hear what he said about you?
Yeah. 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 We're on the outs. I mean, I don't think he wants to see me get mad. That's all I'm going to say.
Listen, let's make
nice. I just want to see you get a pick right with our George pick. That's all I want, RJ.
All right. Chris, Chris, the floor is yours. Give RJ your three picks of the week, and let's let him cobble through and find a winner here.
Okay, RJ, my first pick of the week is the Bills as a home dog getting 3 points against the Seahawks. My second pick of the week is my Ravens laying 1.5 on the road in Indy. And my third pick are the Buccaneers at home laying 4.5 against the Saints.
All right, well, I actually like Tampa Bay to win the Super Bowl, but I don't like them laying over a field goal. I mean, the Saints, all that narrative about Drew Brees and his arm and all that, I mean, they're playing pretty well. So I'm gonna throw that one off to the side. Though maybe I should just go with that one. No, because then it gets, yeah. Okay. What was the other one?
Ravens laying 1.5 on the road in Indy.
Are we sure that line's right? I'm going to take a gander at that as we're talking.
I have a pick 'em on pregame.com right now.
Ooh, so this baby's moving. Because early in the week, it was, Colts are getting points.
Ravens opened up at 4. Now it's a pick 'em.
Yeah, I don't like that. I mean, I lean that way, to be honest, but I like the other game more.
The Bills?
I like the Bills.
Okay.
I
like that game, too.
To me, Seattle is still the most overrated team. I mean, they had a nice win last week, but the red zone conversions are just amazing. They've had a bunch of 4-point, plays effectively, touchdowns instead of field goals. And I know how good Russell Wilson is. And if you look at the advanced stats, he is the best quarterback. He's better this year, statistically, better than Mahomes, better than Aaron Rodgers. And they did, actually one quick question. Seattle picked up at least one key defensive guy, if I recall. Did you have a take on that, Chris?
Dunlap and Jamal Adams are both expected to play.
All right, so Adams was just an injury, but I thought during the trade deadline.
Dunlap.
Okay. Now, do you think that's meaningful?
Yeah, I think that's impactful, yeah.
All right, so maybe I got to I still am going to go with the Bills, but I might have to reevaluate my general thoughts on Cincinnati or on Seattle.
All right, so I'm writing this down now. Buffalo.
He's mailed it in. He's officially
Buffalo
mailed it in.
Plus 3. Done. Locked away, yes?
Can you hear the TV?
Now RJ is now actively trying to get the picks wrong.
No.
He is, isn't he, Rick?
That would be crazy.
But you can't. People can't do this. RJ, you can't go 0-8.
Listen, it's happened. We're gonna go back in time. I've never gone to 0-5 in my life, to be honest. I don't think. But
so, RJ, let me ask you a question. Of the three games that I gave you, you actually like the Bills getting the 3 points against the Seahawks. You actually like that game.
That's probably my fourth or fifth best game.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. Listen.
I never loved the Seahawks more than I do at this very.
Did you guys? I bet if we did a poll on that, it'd be like 70% on your side, Dave. Did you guys ever see the movie that William H. Macy was in? It was about old Vegas. The Cooler, exactly. Yes. Okay, Canty the Cooler. That's how I see it at this point.
But here's what I don't understand. The two of you have opened up like a corporation together. This is a joint venture.
It's bankrupt.
The fact that it's 0-8, why are you blaming Chris for all of the ales here?
I mean, I don't think you understand. I mean, this is – what did you get on your SATs, Dave?
1380.
Ooh, not good. All right.
What do you mean not good?
I mean maybe around your – where'd you grow up?
Long Island.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I like Long Island.
What did you get?
No, I was going to say I was hoping it was a place I could kind of make it say, like Buffalo or something. But no, all right. Listen, all I'm going to say is this. If you give me three things and I got to pick amongst them, and this season Dave's or Canty's what, maybe 22% on his picks?
He's 7
it's
and
bad.
17
It's not good,
here.
RJ. We
7
don't have to
and
put
17.
A percentage on it.
Yeah. All right. So how am I supposed to, think about this a second. That mathematically it would have been impossible for me to even win some weeks. We're 8 weeks in, he only has 7 wins.
Some weeks it would be mathematically impossible, but it doesn't mean you should be 0-8.
You do realize that if you're flipping a coin, a drunk baby flipping a coin wins 50% of the time, picking Chris Candy's picks are 31%.
Okay, and you're at 0.
I mean, I'm not saying that's good. I'm saying it's almost impossible to win when he never wins. And the funny thing is, everywhere else I'm doing great. Saturday, Mr. Michael Kay, though, somehow losing two out of three is killing.
Oh, he is not happy with
me. Oh, my gosh. Then I asked him, how much would you bet that you would really feel pain? He goes, $5.
Yeah, he feels everything. Why
did he say that about you, though?
Well, he loves me. Whatever he says, don't believe it. All right, so Giants and Washington. Opened up, Washington was 3.5. Now it's down to 1 on your site. We mentioned earlier on the show, if the Giants can't win this game, when can they win? Do you like the Giants here this week?
No, I actually like Washington a little bit here. And again, I am not sure. It just feels like, first off, let me ask you a question. Why are the Giants losing so many close games?
They keep turning the ball over in huge spots.
Yeah, but under that theory, that's why maybe the game's close. But they still have a chance to win at the end of these games.
I'm just not making plays. It wasn't turnovers. It was turnovers. There's two huge turnovers, but it's also if Daniel Jones throws the ball when he's supposed to throw it or where he's supposed to throw it, that game's tied up going to overtime.
I guess what I'm saying is when you have a game around Pick'em, and you have, it's the same thing, on the Super Contest last week, I had the Chargers, right?
Oh, God.
Yeah, at some point, Anthony Lynn and me it's irredeemable. And I any Belichick guy, though he wasn't particularly experienced judge, a young guy, but you got to think he's pretty decent in a lot of ways. But I worry about these close losses. And I think Washington thinks they can win the division. The Giants don't have any division aspirations, realistically. Washington does. Yeah, I like Washington. By the way, I got a great prop bet. I really think this is special. You ready for this?
All right, write this down.
Yeah, hold on. Dave loves props. What do you got?
This is the Saints in Tampa Bay.
Okay.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. This is going to be a hedge fund, hedge two picks. All right. One is we're going to go over in receptions, Antonio Brown. Over.
What's the number on that?
We're guessing it's going to be out on Friday. It's going to be out end of day Friday today.
Okay.
We're guessing if we're lucky, it's 3. Likely 3.5.
All right.
Then we're going under Antonio Brown yards.
Wow.
Now here's why. Chances are we're going to split out, but we think there's a much better chance of going 2-0 than 0-2. The reason being that the Bucs don't want Antonio Brown to have no catches, or because it's going to be the lead story on GetUp. It's going to be so. I think there's at least 2. Or 3 passes throughout the game that are little dump offs. Remember when Harold Carmichael had his 115 game catch streak and then there's 4 minutes left? What do they do? They throw a screen to the guy. I think that there's a situation where the yards might not be good, but the receptions are. And chances are we're just risking the VIG.
Okay. So over the catches, under the yardage.
Yep.
Got it.
All right, RJ, you're my resident Pittsburgh Steelers guy.
Yes.
Big win against Baltimore. They didn't play well against Baltimore, and Mike Tomlin has said as much. 14 points is a lot of points, but Dallas stinks. We don't know who's playing quarterback. How do you feel about this game?
Was DiNucci that bad?
DiNucci was bad, yeah.
Yes.
Horrendous.
I mean, better than like your fourth quarter. Like if you just randomly had the fourth quarterback, is better than DiNucci. Huh. All right. So this is what I would say. One, Dallas is pretty much would be pick'em right now against the Jets. So that's pretty shocking, but here we go. At least Jets have that going for them. they are the first team, Dallas, ever to go 0-8. Now follow me here. The first 8 weeks of the season. There's two other teams.
Against the spread.
Yes, thank you. Against the spread. The first... there's three other teams that started 0-8, but they all had a bye, so it was in 9 weeks or whatever. Here, literally, 8 straight losers against the spread never has happened. So, this is like history how bad Dallas is. I also think you could make the case that Monday Night Football, they're losing in the second half. They didn't have any fight in them. They weren't going to win the game, but they still can play hard. And then the famous, obviously Andy Dalton gets whacked and everyone kind of sits around shrugging. Obviously they played as hard you'll call it against Philly, but I want no part of this Dallas team. Now the thing the last thing I'll say is, as a Steelers fan, what people might not realize is if you ask the Steelers who the rivals are, probably the fourth or fifth is Dallas because of Super Bowl 10, 13, and 30. So I'm not sure if that helps Pittsburgh like get up for a game because Tomlin is no good on the road as a favorite historically. I'm going to pass it.
RJ, I want to ask you about a sneaky good game, the Dolphins and the Cardinals. Right now I've got the Cardinals laying 4.5 at home. They're coming off a bye week. Last time we saw them, they beat Seattle in overtime. Miami's coming off of an impressive win in Tua Tagovailoa's first start. How do you see this game playing out?
I got to learn how to pronounce Tua's last name. All right. did you spend any time on that, Chris, or did just how'd that work for you?
No, I just said his name.
It's one of his hidden talents. He's not gonna tell you.
He's a wordsmith.
Yeah, he's really good with names.
Well, I hear some skepticism in the crowd there. I love the under in this game, and my rationale is this: if you look at expected points added, which is a very respected advanced analytic, and look at the last three games. All right, because I like to look at the season, and then I like to look at trend lines. And it just happened that the Dolphins got a key player back on defense three games ago. And in these three games, the Dolphins had double the best offense than the second best, meaning that the expected points added for the second best defense during these three games was 0.2 per play. And for Miami, it was 0.4. I've never seen that before. This Miami's D is playing awesome. They're actually leading the league in points allowed the whole year, but people aren't talking about it. And I think last week we got the camouflage because this is amazing. Is the Rams had a return touchdown. That's one. Miami had two. And Miami had a one-yard touchdown off a turnover and a 30, I think it was 8-yard. So literally there were five touchdowns between the two teams that had less than 40 yards gained. So it looked like it was it went right up to the total. It was like 46 was the total. I think it fell 44. And I think it's covering up that Tua is not near what Fitzpatrick is right now. He might be in a couple weeks. He isn't right now. And the Miami D is playing great. So I like the under. And Arizona's not is more of a running team than a throwing team. And I know it doesn't seem like it, but it's true under in that game. And it's 49 and a half. Yes.
Yep. 59.5 would be unbelievable.
So let me ask you this, RJ. Would you take the Arizona Cardinals and lay the 4.5, or would you lean toward Miami?
I would take Arizona if I had to, just because I think Tua, I think he's worth a minus 3 points, 4 points.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not sure. Is Tua, is there any quarterback worse than him? Like, I know Minshew's not playing this week, but was the stash actually worse than Tua? I think Tua was the worst quarterback. I mean, probably the second worst since Alex Smith.
Yeah, he didn't look good in his one game, but it's his first game ever.
Yeah, but in general, first games are usually better than second games because once they get film on you for a couple games, the defense has an advantage until the number of games and experience starts over. So it's kind of an ebb and flow. The first game helps the initial starter.
Yeah, but he hadn't played a game in over a year. I mean, that's a true point.
So why is Miami putting him out there when they're in the playoff race?
They want to see what he is.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, I have a quick question.
Exactly.
I have a quick question. Sam Darnold. Now, he's renowned.
This is right up Rick's alley. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's renowned, is my understanding, that the Jets believe if he misses practice time, he really struggles. He needs his reps. Would you say that's a fair belief?
If he plays in a game, he struggles. Yeah, I don't care how many reps there are. Yeah,
fair enough. Oh, boy, you guys have turned on him, huh? All right. So he missed practice this week. But Adam Gase is saying, well, if he can play, he's going to play no matter. You know, it seemed like he's going to play, right? Why? Because one, if you're going for the number one,
we spent 20 minutes on this to open the show.
All right. So what was the answer?
We have no idea.
Yeah, because it seems like you do realize, Dave, that most radio listeners listen like for 3 minutes at a time. They're not like camped out listening to every word Dave
says. Our show's different, actually.
Yeah, don't underestimate our listeners.
All right. No. I was saying it was just normal radio. It wasn't you guys. It's just radio.
Taking shots at us.
No, it's not shots. It's all right. So I guess
TSL is through the roof.
I guess what you're saying.
Like that.
What's going on?
They haven't seen numbers like
that. Nah, just radio. Yeah. Radio lingo.
Jargon lingo, yeah.
Jargon,
well,
yeah.
I mean, listen.
Q, TSL, you know.
I mean, obviously the 9-11 slot is, you know.
Very important slot. Very important slot.
All right. Anyway, I don't get it with the Jets, and it makes me suspicious, but I got another pick I love. I'm just going to just.
All right, here's the thing. I was going to tee you up. Is this the pick of the week? I want to set you up, and I want to be fair and accurate. 8 weeks in. You and Canty 0-8. You on your own on an island. 2-6 after Cleveland's
debacle. That's not true, is it? 2-6?
Yeah. 2-6 after Cleveland's debacle. But
I guess people can get discombobulated.
Discombobulated. Focus. Start to pick winners. Starts now. Go ahead.
Okay. I love the Jets under team total. It might be too sophisticated for this show.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean under team total?
All right, so so every team has an over-under, right? So if you look at the game, it's got an over-under, right? So the Jets, Patriots, the over-under is 42, right? But each team has an over-under. And you can actually figure it out even before it comes out. You just subtract out the spread, then take that remainder, divide by two, then add the spread back in for the favorite, and you got it. And thus, the Jets are going to be around 17 to 18 points, right. 17 probably.
So do we have this number yet, or is it not out?
It's out Friday. I love it. I think since we're on the schneid, we probably should just, and plus it's a Monday game. You'll have something to talk about. I think that's the way to go. But if you want to force me off it,
listen, you're desperate, and we get it.
It's true.
Need to go under Jets team total to try to make hay here, we're all about it. Is that where you want to go?
Yes. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand how it's so sophisticated, though. I mean, 17 Jets have only scored that twice this year.
No, I didn't mean it was an advanced
Maybe
bet.
Maybe he's getting to the number.
I was saying a bet type, right? Oh, okay. Like people don't bet team totals. I mean, have you ever bet a team total?
No.
See? Sophisticated.
See?
Just because he's never done it doesn't make it sophisticated.
What are you trying to say?
He's never jumped out of an airplane either. Doesn't make it sophisticated.
Are you trying to say he's a Philistine? Like, there's all kind of things he's done that's like very he hasn't done that's very basic.
How many millions of dollars can't he make? You have lost it today.
Why?
I don't know. It's a question for you.
What you mean? Because I'm saying that I think Chris is cultured. I lost it.
You're crazy.
Let me ask
under the team total is your pick of the week.
And I need just 30 seconds. Have you guys ever heard of a radio show in LA? It's off the air now, Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
Okay. They made both of them Radio Hall of Fame. You know, I did that show 6 years. I got more grief today than 6 years on Kevin and Bean.
Why do you think they're not on the air anymore?
Well, why do you think they're in the Radio Hall of Fame and you're not?
It's probably the closest you ever come to a beam. I can tell you that.
a beam like a beam that you'd have up on your ceiling? What are you talking about?
He's not going to expand on that. RJ, we love you. I will talk to you tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock.
All right. I'm not feeling much love, but bye.
Bye. That is RJ Bell. He's very defensive, huh?
Well, he was Adam Gase. He was Adam Gase today. Not my fault. Yeah. Canny's fault.
Blame him.
Calling me all under the bus, man. I picked 60% winners this season.
Yeah, listen, the combination with you, he's 0-8, and all on his own, he's 2-6.
If Adam Gase and Mike Singletary had a baby, it would be RJ Bell right now.
All right, let's take a quick break.
I want guys that are going to win.
winners. Paul Feinbaum is going to join us. We'll get into the Notre Dame and Clemson. Huge game of the week.
Andrew Siciliano's dad, Paul Feinbaum, right?
I don't understand. What does that mean? Google. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, you get it.
Yep, got it. Takes a second. Yes, A.S.'s dad, Paul Feinbaum, will join us next. We here at 98.7 ESPN are very thankful for the amazing men and women of the armed forces who have served our country and the incredible sacrifices that they have and continue to make. I want to recognize your loved ones this Veterans Day, this coming Wednesday. Send us an email at 98.7FM@ESPN.com, including their name, where they're from, and the branch of military that they represent. Again, that's 98.7 FM at ESPN.com. We'll shout out your loved one's name on air this Veterans Day to the men and women who have served and are still serving. 98.7 ESPN thanks you for continuing to defend our freedom. Let's bring him in. I mean, the one and only Paul Feinbaum. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you, fellas?
We're doing well. It's a little feisty today, so if it gets a little uproarious, I apologize in advance. But let's start with and I know we want to get into the Clemson game and what's going on with Wisconsin.
And by the way, before we start, I'm not talking about Virginia, so you can take that one out of the.
Come on, Paul. That was a big win for us last week. Come on now.
I owe you an apology. I'll go ahead and do it. I mean, I wrote your program off, so congratulations, my man.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Paul.
All right. Very nice. So, Michigan, Paul, are they just are they fraudulent? Like, how long at this point can Harbaugh continue to coach this team? And I know it's a pandemic, and I know expectations are different. They're a 22-point favorite over Michigan State last week, and they lost this game. It's another failed season of Michigan football.
Yeah, I said somewhere this week that Harbaugh and Michigan need an amicable divorce, and then a friend called me and said, have you ever been divorced? I said, no. He said, there's no such thing as an amicable divorce. So, I mean, they need to separate. I don't know how they do it. It's just not working, and I think Harbaugh's best route is the NFL. Now, the question is, you know, can he get a job in the NFL? I mean, it seems like it's not that hard to get one based on the coach of the Jets. So, he has no path there. His contract runs out at the end of next year. He has not been extended. I can't imagine he will be unless somehow he beats Ohio State, which is not happening.
Paul Feinbaum joins us here on the show. Paul, this actually really aggravated me, and I don't usually get too riled up, but what Dan Mullen did, I mean, it was disgusting. And how he reacted to it after the game, too, it rubbed me the wrong way. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, it's been the story of the week, especially in the South. And you know, he was fined $25,000. You know, listen, for a guy that makes $5 million a year, that's not going to really set him back too much. And, yeah, it was inexcusable. And you know, for those who didn't see it, the quarterback at Florida was hit after the late. It was a late hit. Should have been called. Wasn't called. Mullen runs out there. It's one thing to run out there and try to, you know, make sure your players are okay, but he ran out there like a lunatic. And then he came back, and what he did afterwards was really upset people. Remember, this is Saturday night, Halloween. He shows up at his post-game press conference with a Darth Vader costume on, and he never took it off. And he said, listen, I promised my son I would do this, and you know, I want to be a good dad, which, you know, hey, great. You know, give the guy an award. But it was the wrong time to say that. And it has really upset a lot of folks. And, of course, Georgia, they had Georgia this weekend, which is, you know, the second biggest game of the year, the second biggest game of the weekend. And by the way, if that's the only thing Dan Mullen had ever done wrong, but let's go back a month when he lost to Texas A&M. And he said, you know, it's ridiculous how many people they had here. He said, our governor down in Florida says we can have full capacity. So we need to fill the swamp with 90,000 people next week. And before the next week even came, he had 30 players with COVID, and he was in isolation. So I know there are people in politics who have had worse weeks than Dan Mullen, but not many.
Paul, speaking of the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, I mean, the loser of this game is essentially out of the SEC championship game, out of contention for the college football playoff. Who comes out on top on Saturday and why?
That is the most difficult question I've had to answer in a while, because you know, Georgia on paper should win the game. They're favored, but they lost Richard LeCount, who's their best defensive player. The second best defensive player is also out. And the only thing they have at Georgia is a defense, because their offense is just pedestrian. I'm still leaning toward Georgia a little bit. And by the way, there's no reasonable explanation except that Florida's defense is about as bad as Georgia's offense. And, you know, but if you haven't seen Kyle Trask play yet this year, guys, I mean, this is a guy that never started in high school, didn't start in college until Felipe Franks was injured a year ago. And he has turned into a brilliant quarterback.
Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Game of the weekend, Clemson-Notre Dame under the lights in South Bend tomorrow night. Obviously, the story about that is Trevor Lawrence not going to play. We're going to see the backup quarterback, whose name I will not attempt at this very moment. Couple of questions. A, who do you like in this game? And B, if Clemson loses, are they still in position to make it to the college football playoff in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. And by the way, the name I have written in my studio about 15 different places, and no matter when I'm on, it's one of the most difficult names I've ever challenged. I mean, it took me 3 years to learn how to say Tagovailoa. And I still like Clemson, and the problem with Clemson, you know, they have a couple of defensive players out, but they're a very deep team, and you know the quarterback is quite good. He came in last week, and even though they fell behind by three touchdowns to BC, they came back and won, and he looked brilliant. He really did. Now Notre Dame's different; they have a really good defense, but I'm just hard for me to buy into anything that Brian Kelly is selling. He's a good coach. Really good. I mean, his record's tremendous. He's like 22-3 over the last two seasons. But guys, at Notre Dame, he's never beaten a top five team, never. Wow. And you know, that's what he is measured on. And every time he loses one of these games, we go, why can't he win one of them? And it's hard for me to buy into this is going to be any different. About the second part of your question, though, is the game. If Clemson loses, they're still in good shape. The reason is simple. They play Notre Dame again at the end of the season, the ACC championship game.
So this is one of the times where it benefits Notre Dame to be in the ACC as opposed to being independent.
Definitely, because, even if Notre Dame loses this game and it's a three-point game, I mean, they would still have a shot, and they may gain more from beating Trevor Lawrence at the end of the season the day before the announcement of the playoff. Yeah. The reason why Notre Dame and Clemson are both contenders is that the Big 12 choked out last week again. Oklahoma State was the last remaining team. It's hard to have a lot of faith in the Pac-12. You know, finishing the season with six. You know, they have a six game season, let alone anyone looking good enough. So the ACC is really on a big stage this weekend.
And Paul, I was just gonna ask you that question about the Pac-12. Is there a team that's capable of putting together an impressive stretch of games of six games in order to make a case for the college football playoff?
It's possible. I talked to Mario Cristobal last night from Oregon, and I think his team has won. I mean, they lost Justin Herbert, obviously, but they're still a really good team. And I would also think SC has a chance. But a Pac-12 team is going to need to look very impressive for six games, be impressive in the Pac-12 championship game, and then hope that somebody gets tripped up along the way. And you know, maybe Clemson wins tomorrow and then beats Notre Dame again. The Alabama I think is already in, and then you have maybe Georgia, Florida cancel each other out, because otherwise there may not be a path for a six game conference schedule to be enough.
All right, Paul, listen, we appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend of college football. Should be a pretty good weekend. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, guys. Always enjoy.
Absolutely. That, of course, the terrific and talented Paul Feinbaum. Now, today on ESPN Daily, months before Brian Pata hoped to be selected in the NFL draft, he was shot and killed. Hear why his murder has remained unsolved for 14 years and what might change that. It's on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. And, of course, we want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. And as we gear up for another football weekend, started last night in what was a destructive game, Green Bay all over San Francisco, a game you could have had, Rick, and you decided for some unknown reason, 11th hour, that you didn't want to get involved with that one.
I tried
to push you there. Like, take
no,
it.
No, I know,
it.
But I thought if you'd push me too, and the fact that Canty's been struggling, that you'd jump on board too, and you didn't jump on.
I can't
on,
do the Thursdays.
Well, I know. Maybe nervous. I panicked.
Yeah.
And I regret it.
All right. But what you don't regret is leading our selection so far this year. Oh, the NFL music. You lead at 11-12-1, which is nothing to write home about, but still a good week this week, and you're above 500. I'm 10-14. Chris is 7-17. But Chris is going to start to turn things around this week as well. So, Rick, because you are leading the pack, you're in control of the board, would you like to go first, second, or third?
I would like to go third, David.
All right, Chris, I'll go first or second. It's up to you.
Your call, Dave.
I'll start. Let me confirm the spreads as I run through these games. You know, everyone said they were done, and all of a sudden, it didn't feel like they are. I think actually an outside shot at the postseason, and with Dalvin Cook back, that's a different football team. Matthew Stafford's on a COVID-19 list. I don't know if he's going to play this week or not. I have Minnesota minus four, Rick. Is that what you're working with right now as well?
That is what I'm working with, yes.
I'm going to take that game. I really like that game. In Minnesota, Cousins 1 o'clock. We've been over that a million times. Played a terrific game. Maybe saved their season last week. I'll take Minnesota. Give the four against Detroit. Miami's terrific defensively. But if you watch Tua and you really watched closely last week, he didn't look very good. Now, terrific defensively against Jared Goff and the Rams, good. Can you do it on the road in Arizona against Kyler Murray and that offense? I don't think so. I'll take Arizona. I'll lay the 4.5. I think they beat him by a touchdown or more. And lastly, RJ said you can't take this team. I'm probably making a dumb selection in doing so. But the Chargers are better than the Raiders. And you're going to have growing pains when you have a young quarterback. I believe in Herbert. Jacobs just popped up on the injury report, so I don't know what the deal with him is going to be. I don't think Las Vegas is much of a football team. I think they're very, very average. I think the Chargers are a better team. I get them at a pick 'em. I'll take that. I'll take the Chargers at a pick 'em. So my three games, Minnesota minus the four, Arizona minus the 4.5, and the Chargers at a pick 'em.
All right. For my three picks, you guys already heard them, but I'll give them to you again. I like Buffalo as a home dog getting three against the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle is a good team, but they play a lot of close games, and at some point you're going to find yourself on the losing side of them. So even though they're getting healthy, I just feel like the Bills, after getting over that mental hurdle that is the New England Patriots, they're going to be coming into this game with a lot of confidence. So I like Buffalo at home. For my second game, even though Lamar Jackson looked awful against the Steelers last week, I just got to believe that he'll find a way to bounce back. And I know they got some injuries along the offensive line and some guys dealing with some COVID concerns, but John Harbaugh, he's a great coach, and he usually gets his team to respond, especially after a loss. So I like them on the road in Indy, laying the 1.5. And then for my last pick, RJ tried to talk me off it, but I'm not going to get talked off it this week. I'm going with the Buccaneers at home in a must-win game against the Saints because the Saints beat them in week one. They're trying to lock up that NFC South, and it's Antonio Brown's debut. They didn't look good on Monday night, but they still found a way to win that game. I think they look a lot better. I think this is going to be a performance kind of like we saw them against the Green Bay Packers a few weeks ago. So I like the Bucs laying the 4.5.
I got to tell you, Chris, I really like your picks this week. I think it's going to end this week.
What numbers on the Ravens?
Dave.
What number do you have on the Ravens?
He gave a 4.5. I actually have a pick 'em on pregame.
Okay, I'll take the pick 'em. I'll take the pick 'em.
Okay, pick 'em. And what is the Bucs? I had a higher number for the Bucs. What do you have for the Bucs?
On pregame.com, I have also 4.5.
You have 4.5?
Yep.
Bucs minus 4.5. I hate when – see, this is why I have to have 15 picks because Canty's got me all confused because he ends up having picks that
no,
I like.
No, what you have to do, whatever you like, you go with. Don't let Chris positively or negatively affect your selections.
Well, he's negatively because I should have taken the Packers last night. All right, here we go. I am going to take – I'm also going to take the Baltimore Ravens. I like them to bounce back. Let's not forget, too, if it wasn't for Lamar Jackson's turnovers in that game, they win that game.
Yep.
Phillip Rivers with pressure, he will turn the football over, so I'll take the Ravens. I like that game. I also like Tennessee to bounce back. You know I hate the Bears offense. I will take Tennessee. What do you have that at, minus six?
Tennessee currently is...
Six and a half,
question. I have it at 6.5.
Okay, Tennessee minus the 6.5.
Yep.
And then for my last pick.
No analysis. Just you're just throwing it out there.
What?
The Tennessee.
What do you mean no one
else? No analysis. Like typically you.
Well, no, I just gave you the analysis. They got embarrassed. They just got embarrassed. They're home going up against a Chicago Bears team who has a good defense.
Yep.
But I hate their offense.
It's brutal.
It's brutal.
Yep.
So I agree. I like teams that are well coached that come off disappointing losses. That's why I like the Ravens too. I think the Ravens bounce back.
Okay.
And for my final pick, I'm between two. 14 points is a lot of points. But, I mean, I can't imagine Dallas doing anything against the Pittsburgh
either.
Steelers. So I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers and I'll lay the 14.
Oof, that's a big number.
Well, was that or was going to go head-to-head against Canty and take the Seahawks?
Just because?
Well, I actually like Seattle.
Oh, you do like Seattle.
I like Seattle.
All right, so there you go. You got Baltimore to pick them, Tennessee minus 6.5, and Pittsburgh laying 2 full touchdowns and 2 extra points, laying the 14 against Dallas. You think the Giants win this weekend, Chris?
They better. I think that's the only way to put it, right, Dave? They got to win.
The if better they don't, is right.
Then we got some serious questions about Daniel Jones. Yeah, they have to win.
Again, and you just heard RJ. He says he loves Washington in this game.
Well, Dave, let me tell you something. If they go down there and we're talking about Washington winning that football game, we're also talking about the Giants looking forward to the draft and potentially getting a new quarterback.
I agree. If they go 1-15, 2-14, Daniel Jones will not be.
If you don't think that Daniel Jones can go into Washington and beat Kyle Allen, then Daniel Jones is not your quarterback.
I think he can, but I wouldn't bet on it. I mean, it's basically a pick 'em game, Rick. Why would I believe that he can go in there and be? I think he can, but I don't know that he does.
You're going up against the quarterback who R.J. Bell calls dolphin hands because all he does is fumble. You should like your chances in that game, especially because Daniel Jones hasn't lost the Redskins. The Washington football team.
I like the chances, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Have some confidence in your team.
They're 1-7.
How much confidence can I have in this team? I was about to say, what are you
have some confidence. They're 1-7. Coming off an awful year.
This is the only team they beat.
This is the only team they beat. It's a valid point.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.